People are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The police who investigate crime, and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Two men hold coffee cups and talk near water.
You got two kids, 10 years of marriage. You run off with this yoga instructor you barely know.
She's not just a yoga instructor, Scott. She owns the studio.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
Look, enough of the lectures. I don't need it, especially from my kid brother.
Look, no, you're going to break Paula's heart, and in 5 years, you're going to end up with exactly what you already have. And that is if you're lucky.
Scott, shut up.
Well, hey, you wanted my advice.
No, look. Over there.
A woman's body is face down in the water.
Oh, God.
Later,
female victim, late 20s. If she had ID, it's gone. Body was found by those two over there. They're brothers. One of them got wife trouble.
That's original.
Yeah. She could have been killed somewhere else, dumped here.
Thanks. Hey, why don't you get a canvas started? Maybe somebody saw something.
They go to the body.
Wash her woman hands.
Come again?
It's a condition due to prolonged immersion in the water. I mean, she was in the soup for several days at least.
Well, the bridge is over there, the Throg's Neck. Maybe she was a jumper and she got brought in by the tide.
Found something else. Gunshot wound. We'll need to order an autopsy to confirm whether or not it was self-inflicted.
So you think she shot herself before or after she jumped?
Eddie and Lenny exchange glances. The New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe is wearing his tie loosened around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green is on the phone. Then Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is shown. The word order appears in front of a courthouse and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant DA Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant DA Serena Sutherland is also at a desk, and DA Arthur Branch has his arms folded across his chest. Law and order. The detectives and the assistant DAs walk down a hallway together. With Emmy Rogers.
I heard about a guy once jumped off a building, got hit by a stray gunshot on his way down. Coroner didn't know whether to rule it a suicide or homicide.
What about Our Lady of City Island?
Oh, homicide. Absence of tattooing, smudging, or burn indicates the shot was fired from several feet away. Cause of death, a single 9mm gunshot wound to the right temporal lobe.
She looks like an angel.
A fallen angel, maybe. Blood alcohol level was 0.20. I also found traces of marijuana, ecstasy, and diamond hydronate. Dramamine.
Well, at least you didn't get seasick.
I think I might be able to help you with an ID. Found this ring on her toe. It has an inscription on the inside.
It's Greek to me.
Eddie reads the inscription, then looks at Lenny.
Psi Kappa Gamma. She's a sorority girl.
Don't look at me. I didn't even learn how to apply lipstick till I was 25.
No, it looks like you got the hang of it now.
She glances around uncomfortably.
Thank you, Detective.
Lenny grins. Office of Alumni Relations, Stuyvesant College.
Oh, my God. That's Julie.
Julie
Eastman. What happened? What happened to her?
That's what we're trying to find out.
How well did you know Miss Eastman?
She graduated in 97. I was a year behind her.
What can you tell us about her?
Julie was serene. She never looked off balance, knew just what to say, just how to dress. She was a little intimidating, actually. Julie was from Nebraska. She grew up on a small dairy farm.
Do you know if she had any family we could notify?
We have all our contact information on file.
The detectives exchange looks. Later with Julie's parents at the precinct.
We wanted to keep Julie closer to home, but how can you argue with a four-year scholarship?
When that acceptance letter came in the mail, Julie couldn't pack her bags fast enough. They say sons leave, but daughters are yours forever.
Julie's mom swallows hard.
I kept waiting for her to come back home. She never did.
Julie had Dramamine in her system. Did she mention anything about going on vacation or on a boat trip?
Julie kept us out of her private life. She never introduced us to any of her friends or boyfriends.
She was embarrassed, Don. She didn't think we were sophisticated enough.
What did Julie do after she graduated college?
A little of this, a little of that, and she landed a job with Nelson Woburn.
The real estate firm.
Apparently was doing quite well. Thought she had a real future there.
He stares downward, and his wife takes his hand. Soon after...
I'm not sure I buy that girl stay home theory. My two couldn't wait for the ink to dry on their high school diplomas before they moved out.
What happened after they were gone?
Oh, we'd hear from them when they needed cash. Funny thing is, no matter how much they suck out of you, you're always ready to give them more. Then in the end, you wind up in the dark like the Eastmans.
Well, maybe somebody down in Nelson Wilbur can shed some light.
Soon after...
Eve Harrington, I used to call her. Oh, I'm sorry. The poor girl's dead.
Oh, love lost, huh?
Well, she'd walk into your office with this innocent, corn-fed smile and leave with six of your clients.
That must have made her pretty popular.
Hey, that's the business, right?
What about her personal life?
TMI, frankly. Too much information. She was right in the next cubicle. The phone was practically glued to her neck.
Eddie goes to the cubicle.
She's seeing anybody?
Adam something. He's a big-time sports agent at Haas Sports Management.
Eddie has a photo.
Is this him?
Yeah, shaved head.
My dude shouldn't shave their heads.
Hey, what's he gonna do? He's going bald.
How serious were they?
Hot and heavy at first, but I got the feeling she was getting ready to break it off. She said she was gonna drop the bomb over the weekend.
This past weekend?
Apparently he was a little quick on the trigger in bed. If you catch my drift.
Haas Sports Management. A man wears a telephone headset.
Adam Macris. He was due back from a trip a few days ago. I tried him on his cell phone a few times, but he must not be getting his signal.
This trip wouldn't happen to be on a boat, would it?
Yeah, Daryl Ridgway, one of our clients, threw a birthday party in Southampton.
Daryl Ridgway, the quarterback.
Adam and Julie sailed out with him to the Hamptons last weekend.
Kind of chilly for a boat trip, isn't it?
It's a 60-foot Uniesa yacht. It's nicer than my apartment. Besides, Daryl always marched to his own beat.
Yeah, like walking away from a $23 million contract.
He said his head just wasn't into football. He wanted to follow a spiritual path.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, like I said, he's unconventional. I mean, how many football players do you know who speak four languages, read philosophy, and run with the bulls at Pamplona?
Guy sounds brilliant, except for the part about the bulls. Think we can meet him?
He's got a place in the city. My secretary has the address. And I'll have Adam call you when he gets back.
I won't hold my breath.
With Van Meter...
Dale Ridgway had a Glock 9mm registered to his name.
The same caliber that killed Julie Eastman. Have you located him yet?
Well, I think we're going to need an APB to do that.
Or scuba gear. We talked to Ridgway's doorman. He hasn't seen him for a week.
So the only thing we know for sure is Adam Macris and Daryl Ridgway were on the boat with our victim.
And that they were supposed to sail back from Southampton 4 days ago.
What are we doing to find a boat?
Coast Guard's working on that.
Well, while you're waiting for your ship to come in, go talk to Ridgway's family before the press does.
Home of Mr. and Mrs. Howard Ridgway. A young man is fidgeting behind the Ridgways.
Are you sure this girl was on Daryl's boat? I've never heard of the Julie Eastman.
Me neither.
What about you, Sean?
I can't keep track of all the women in Daryl's life.
You're not suggesting he had anything to do with this girl's death?
No, we just need to ask him a few questions.
Daryl would never hurt anyone.
We're not saying he did.
Probably on his way to Aruba. Since he quit playing, he doesn't have a job or any responsibilities to bind him.
Howard, the police wouldn't be here if there wasn't something wrong.
You're just covering all the bases, right, Detective?
Right. When was the last time you heard from him?
We called him on his birthday. He sounded fine.
Lenny steps away to answer his cell phone.
The girl that was murdered, ecstasy was found in her system. Do you know if your son took any drugs?
Briscoe. Yeah.
Sean looks down.
Not Daryl.
I didn't even take aspirin that night.
You were at Daryl's party?
Yeah.
Well, did you notice any trouble? Anything unusual?
Well, I didn't stay long. You know, it wasn't exactly my crowd.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Ed?
Eddie goes to Lenny.
That was the Coast Guard. They found the boat.
They look back at the Ridgway family on a pier.
Fisherman called in off our marine assistance broadcast. She was anchored in a cove near Port Washington. Looks like she'd been there a couple of days. We found the dinghy hauled up on shore.
Killer probably used it to get away. There's a Long Island Railroad station in Port Washington.
From there, it's a straight shot to Penn Station and the rest of the country.
Detectives!
Beck, how the hell did you get here?
Patrol car?
Lenny laughs.
I found a few bullet holes here.
It looks like blood.
Yeah, from the spatter, you can tell that one of the victims was prone when shot.
One of the victims?
A preliminary testing indicates two different blood types.
Two?
At least two. Come here.
They follow Beck to the back of the boat.
Look, it's a forensic smorgasbord.
Blood is everywhere.
And somebody spilled the gravy.
Lab confirmed 3 different DNA samples from the boat, one of them matching Julie Eastman.
Have you tried matching the other 2 blood samples against Macris and Ridgway?
CSU took hair fibers from their apartments this morning. We're waiting for the results.
Leighton also lifted a dozen or so prints from the boat. They're running them now, see if something hits.
What about the people that were at Ridgway's party? Any of them have access to the boat?
Well, we're working on it. There's over 50 names on that list.
Then why are you standing around talking to me?
Shelton Rare Books. 332 West Broadway.
I dwell in possibility. That's Daryl in a nutshell.
And Emily Dickinson, right?
Yeah, he got interested in her poetry after Sports Illustrated described his past completions as tiny ecstasies set in motion. He came here looking for a Roberts Brothers first edition with original gilt and silver white cloth boards. It's the feel of the cloth spine, the look of the marbled end papers. Daryl doesn't experience anything halfway.
Sounds like your experience with him isn't limited to books.
Daryl and I don't play for the same team. And I'm not talking about football. We're just friends.
Okay. So, what can you tell us about the party?
It was a weekend of free-flowing ideas between diverse and curious minds.
Sounds like my last birthday party.
So the ideas flow more freely with a little bit of ecstasy?
Well, X expands thinking and promotes feelings of closeness with others.
Is this before or after your spinal fluid dries up?
So you're saying that this party was just one big love-in?
For most of the people there.
But not everybody.
Daryl's girlfriend was a real downer. I mean, it was his 30th birthday and she was on his case all night.
About what?
I don't know. I was trying to stay away from the negative energy.
Later outside.
That bitch! She says she's gay, but it doesn't stop her from flirting with my boyfriend all night long.
Well, was Daryl flirting back?
With her and every other woman at the party.
Must have made you mad.
I spent 2 months planning this party for him.
When was the last time you saw Daryl, Amanda?
Sunday night. Why?
That was the last time anybody else saw him.
What about Sean?
His brother?
I saw Daryl and Sean on the boat together after the party. They were going to sail back to Manhattan together.
Was there anybody else on board?
Just Adam and then his girlfriend. What's her name? Julie.
So you stayed behind because you were still angry about the flirting?
I'd had enough.
No. Was Sean and his brother getting along all right at the party?
Sean was high, and he kept trying to pick a fight with Daryl, and Daryl just brushed it off. He had a really hard time putting his foot down where his brother was concerned.
Well, if you think of anything else.
She takes his card, then gets into a car.
That was the lab. The blood samples from the boat matched both the DNA of Macris and Ridgway.
Hardly earth-shattering news.
He also got a hit on a print.
Sean Ridgway.
He had a handful of priors, and one of them was for assault.
So what do we tell the Ridgways first? That one son's probably dead or the other one's probably a murderer?
Back with the Ridgways.
Are you sure?
We found Daryl's boat. There was blood on it that matches his DNA.
But you haven't found him. I mean, you haven't found his...
No. Not a body.
We need to ask your son, Sean, a few questions.
Sean? Why?
His criminal record contained his fingerprints, and we found matching prints on Daryl's boat.
Well, he's been on Daryl's boat lots of times.
I know, ma'am, but he lied to us about being on it this time.
Don't go making excuses for him, Miriam.
He's our son.
Daryl's our son. So help me if Sean...
Howard.
Mr. Ridgway, if you know anything...
Please, Howard, don't. Don't. Please.
We got this morning.
He turns on an answering machine.
Mom, it's Sean. Listen... You're gonna hear some things, some horrible things, and I want you to know I didn't do it. I didn't do any of it. I don't know if you'll see me again. Take care of yourself. I love you. Bye.
Let him rot.
Where does he live?
Who knows?
Please, find him.
Lenny nods. On the phone.
No, Ridgway.
If I had an address, I wouldn't be talking to you.
I've been looking at your boy's sheet. Assault with a deadly weapon, drug possession.
Yeah, a couple grams of heroin.
Yeah, but look who he got collared up with.
Oh, his dealer.
Find the dealer, find the junkie.
Outside, 2 men talking to a bald man suddenly run when they spot the detectives approaching. Lenny's holding up his badge.
Is it something we said?
Your PO says his regards, Tyrone.
Just talking up the cornucopia variation, officers. See if they're pushing the sea pond?
Jimmy's got him on the king side, that's all.
Now, that's great. You taking any chess tournaments with this guy recently?
Never seen him before.
Try again. You got collared with him. He's one of your regulars.
Regular what?
Eddie grabs him.
Come here, hey, come on, man. You can't do that. Look, man, I watch court TV, all right? You ever heard of probable cause?
Court TV ever teach you about a Terry stop, Tyrone? Which means I can pat you down for a weapon without PC if I feel my safety's being threatened. You feel threatened, Lenny?
I'm shaking in my shoes, Ed.
Yeah. It's not a weapon, but it'll put you away for a couple years.
Well, that is, unless it doesn't belong to him. Maybe he was just holding it for a friend?
Yeah, look, I don't know what's in the packet. Dude just asked me to hold on to it for him, right?
Well, we can return it to him.
Look, man, he's shacked up in some dump with this girl on 21st and Lex, all right?
Yeah, what's the girl's name?
Sharon something.
Soon after, at the apartment building...
She's got a mouth on her, let me tell you. The joint's 10 degrees quieter with her gun.
Where'd she go?
She pays a month in advance, I don't ask. I haven't seen her in a couple of days.
She's got anything illegal?
I don't know about it.
The detectives enter to find Sean lying on a bed.
He's breathing shallow.
Lenny finds a syringe.
Looks like Sean threw himself a little going away party.
Yeah, we got a possible overdose at the Battery Hotel.
Hurry.
At arraignment.
Docket number 578302, People versus Sean Daniel Ridgway. 3 counts of murder in the first degree.
1 pitch, 3 strikes. Oh, forgive me, Mr. Wilczewski. That was your last client. Third and long is more appropriate for this one.
It's his brother, Your Honor. My client is...
About to plead, isn't that right, Mr. Ridgway?
Not guilty. Across the board, Judge.
Talk to me, Miss Sutherland.
The defendant has been charged with the brutal death of 3 people, one of whom was his brother. The people request remand.
My client belongs in a hospital, not a prison.
For a drug overdose. If counsel needs a refresher course, heroin use is still illegal in this state. The law can't allow one illegal act to mitigate the punishment for another.
You have to admit, Mr. Wilczewski, she's quick. Defendant is remanded without bail. Next.
Rikers Island Correctional Facility.
I don't want to burn a hole in your client's pocket, so what do you say to 3 counts of man one, he serves the max, sentences to run concurrently?
What happened to the plea bargain discount?
I didn't kill my brother.
Look at it from my point of view, Mr. Ridgway. 4 people got onto your brother's boat. 3 of them died.
You only have one body.
And the blood samples of the other 2.
Be that as it may, 4 people got on the boat. 1 got off. The math's not that difficult.
I don't like boats. They dropped me off in Greenport. Daryl and everybody were fine.
Yeah, there is that pirate problem.
Don't laugh. That yacht guy, what's his name? Pirates punched his ticket.
In South America, this boat was in the Long Island Sound.
You don't have a weapon. You don't have a witness. Top that off with Daryl being Sean's golden goose, and you don't have much of a case. I'll make it easy on you, Jack. Say a couple of counts of assault. Sean does the next 6 months in rehab. You don't lose face. Everybody's happy.
I apologize in advance, Matt.
For what?
All those courthouse steps you'll have to climb.
Sean shakes his head. Later with D.A. Arthur Branch.
My nephew, Andy, played with Daryl Ridgway the year the Gators went 12-1. That son of a gun could throw.
2nd pick in the draft. $20 million contract.
Makes you wonder.
Maybe he quit because he's tired of having his brain bashed in on a daily basis.
Actually, I was wondering what it would have taken for the Giants to sign him.
We can't explain why Sean Ridgway killed his kid brother. My guess is Wilczewski will have the jury wondering the same thing.
I heard Sean claim he didn't kill his brother. I never heard him say he loved him. That's the 2nd oldest story in the Bible.
You might want to find someone who will actually testify to that.
Haas Sports Management.
The first thing he does is buy his mama a house. 2nd is put Dad on the payroll.
I was wondering more about his brother.
Oh, Sean, right. There's a real piece of work. Daryl comes in one day, asks me if I could hire him. You know, mailroom, messenger, anything.
You did?
10% of $20 million? I'd hire his dog if he asked me.
I can assume that it didn't work out.
Well, we called Sean a scout. We sent him around to colleges. You know, give us a preview of the guys coming up.
Not to tell you your business, but Sean Ridgway is a heroin user.
Well, and Daryl tells us he was also a hell of a two-guard back in the day. I figure you grow up around Daryl, you gotta be able to recognize talent.
Well, it sounds like some things don't run in the family.
First trip up to BC, they had a power forward there who was making all the local papers. Sean winds up with the kid passed out in the basement of some frat. So much for his scouting days.
Yeah, you fired him?
Adam did, actually, with Daryl's blessing. And I felt for Daryl, too. I mean, you know, how many mouths is one guy supposed to feed?
So Daryl supported Sean?
Yeah, enough to keep his head in the clouds. He'd have put that piece of trash away forever, right?
With Mr. Ridgway.
Two kids come out of the same woman? What are you gonna do?
I know how hard this must be, Mr. Ridgway.
Just tell me what you want, I'll tell you anything.
Serena stares at him with a frown.
Hey, I know when to cut my losses.
They sit.
You have kids?
I'm not married.
Don't listen to the gossip, Miss Sutherland. Anyone tells you kids are a gift from God is dead wrong half the time. For every success, there's one that surely disappoints.
From what I gather, Daryl didn't feel that way about Sean.
Let me tell you about Sean. He's like a three-legged dog that shows up at your back door. He guilted Daryl into giving him money.
Did Daryl ever complain about it?
To me. He wouldn't dare mention it. I warned Daryl not to give that bum dime one.
It sounds to me like you think Sean's guilty.
Don't you?
Later at a restaurant with Mrs. Ridgway.
Sean's sport was basketball. His coach told me he'd never seen a kid shoot the three like Sean. And in high school, all the colleges were after him.
What happened?
Well, one day he just quit. He just gave up. And it broke his father's heart.
It appears Mr. Ridgway hasn't gotten over it.
Maybe Howard's too demanding, but it doesn't mean he doesn't love Sean. In his heart, he knows Sean had nothing to do with Daryl's.
She frowns and looks down.
Mr. Ridgway told me that Daryl was going to stop supporting Sean.
Well, even if they did talk about it, I'm sure Howard took it the wrong way.
How's that?
Daryl was going to stop giving Sean money. Not to hurt him, to help him, to keep him off drugs. It was out of love. Sean knew that. So he certainly wouldn't kill him over it.
Of course not.
Supreme Court Trial Part 41. On the stand, Beck uses a laser to point to a chart.
This thing that looks like a barcode, that's a base pair sequence, the identifying part of a DNA molecule, taken from a sample of blood found on the deck of the Aurora. Now, compare that to this sample obtained from Daryl Ridgway's last physical. You'll see they match, meaning that the blood aboard the boat is that of Daryl Ridgway's, just as this sample matches a sample taken from Julie Eastman's blood, and this sample matches a sample taken from hair found in Adam Macris's electric razor.
And what would you conclude from all this, Dr. Beck?
That the blood on the deck came from Daryl Ridgway, Julie Eastman, and Adam Macris.
Jack glances at the jury, then quickly takes a seat.
You did a fingerprint analysis of latents found on Mr. Ridgway's boat, didn't you, Dr. Beck?
Yeah, of course.
How many sets did you find?
12, including those of the defendant.
Assuming there were, in fact, three victims here, and that's a very large assumption, considering we only have one body, that would leave 8 other possible suspects aside from my client. Isn't that right?
Witnesses only saw 4 people get on the boat.
When they left the Hamptons. But certainly it's possible that they might have stopped along the way to pick up other passengers, don't you think?
I guess.
Wolcheski goes to his seat. Later, Amanda's on the stand.
I've been seeing Daryl for almost a year.
Would you say you got to know his brother Sean during that time?
Couldn't avoid it. If he wasn't showing up uninvited, he was calling Daryl's cell. Give me, give me, give me.
You're talking about money.
That's right. And Daryl was a complete pushover. I couldn't really understand it myself because Sean was only going to buy drugs.
This didn't bother Daryl?
Of course it did. But what really bothered Daryl is that Sean didn't even try. I can't tell you how many jobs Daryl tried to get him. Sean's just one of those guys that wouldn't help himself.
What happened at the party?
Sean showed up, like always, with his hand out.
Her eyes fill with tears.
And for once, I was really proud of Daryl. Because for once, he said no.
What was Sean's reaction?
She glares at Sean.
He was angry. In fact, Daryl had to drag him to the den where they could talk it out in private.
Thank you.
You can continue your cross tomorrow, Mr. Wolcheski.
Wolcheski whispers to Sean, then approaches Jack.
How about we talk?
Jack nods. Soon after...
I gotta admit, I'm not surprised, Mr. Ridgway.
I saw what was going on in there.
So did I.
which makes me question the logic of my accepting a deal.
Nothing's a sure bet, Jack. You know that. All it takes is one juror who put a week's pay on the Jets last year and thinks Darryl Ridgway deserves to go the way of all flesh.
Murder, too. One count. He does the max.
Sean stares at Jack.
If you'd rather finish the trial.
Sean glances back at his lawyer, then shakes his head.
Fine.
Back in the courtroom, Sean and Mr. Wilczewski are standing.
We left the party in the Hamptons around 4 in the morning and took Daryl's boat out.
Who was on the boat, Mr. Ridgway?
Me, Daryl, his agent, Adam Macris, and Adam's girlfriend.
Her name was Julie Eastman, Your Honor. Go on.
About an hour after we left the marina, Daryl and I started fighting. Things got out of hand, and I shot him with the gun that he kept on board.
Mr. Ridgway lowers his head.
Then I panicked. Shot the others. Threw the bodies overboard along with the gun. I took the dinghy to shore.
What were you arguing about?
Money. Daryl said he wasn't going to give me any more.
Do you understand that by accepting this plea, you waive your right to a trial?
I do.
Miss Sutherland? The state has agreed to one count of murder in the second degree with a maximum sentence. Is that how you understand it, Mr. Ridgway?
Yes.
If there's nothing else, the plea is accepted by this court.
Sean glances back at his parents. His mother glares at him through tear-filled eyes. A bailiff leads him away. Mr. Ridgway stares at his son. Later, Jack salts his food at a bar. Wilczewski walks up.
So, a funny thing happened on the way to spend the money the Ridgeways paid me to defend Sean. The check bounced.
That's why I represent the good guys.
Let me finish, Jack. $4 million was transferred out 1 week after the murders.
That's a civil matter. Sue the Ridgeways.
I would. They appeared to be as shocked as I was.
Who else has access to the account?
Darryl Ridgway. It's his account, actually. He may not be dead, Jack.
Jack smiles and goes back to his food.
Mr. Ridgway testified in open court that he murdered three people.
But in private, he's always insisted he wasn't even on the boat when the murders occurred.
And you believe him?
Well, to be honest, I didn't, until his parents went to Daryl's cupboard and found it recently left bare.
Where was the money transferred to?
The transfer funds were done electronically by computer. I assume the bank is working on tracing it.
It could have been bank error. It could have been a hacker.
It could have been reasonable doubt. Justice demands a jury decide.
You had a jury. Your client came to me and begged me to send them home.
We were all there. We all saw what was going down. Sean Ridgway didn't have a shot in hell of walking out of that courtroom.
I'm certainly flattered you've come to me with your troubles, Mr. Wilczewski, but I don't see why. Appeal the verdict.
Your Honor, an appeal would take years. My client could be sitting in a cell for something he didn't do. All I'm asking is you set aside the plea bargain and let Sean Ridgway have his constitutionally guaranteed day in court.
First of all, he had it and decided upon advice of counsel to waive it. Second, a long line of cases holds that the discovery of potentially exculpatory evidence is not sufficient in and of itself to vacate an uncoerced plea.
But it was coerced. Scream boo loud enough and my client will pass out cold.
I feel for him.
Would you be any more convinced if he were particularly susceptible to duress?
It's ridiculous.
Humor me. Have your shrink talk to him.
That sounds like a plan.
You can't be serious.
He's not asking to go free, just a new trial. I can't see how a session with your expert will hurt.
Jack frowns. Rikers Island Correctional Facility. Dr. Skoda's with Sean.
I know how the system works. Great. Darryl Ridgway was murdered, and the papers are already sticking the needle in my arm. I'm looking at a conviction whether I did it or not.
But agreeing to toss your life away?
Where have you been? That happened years ago. I'm just a piece of garbage trying to get off the heap.
Garbage?
Just ask Dad.
What about your mother?
I caused her enough pain already.
Is that why you accepted the deal?
Can't you understand? She's already been humiliated enough.
Tell me about growing up.
What about it?
Why not start with your relationship with Daryl?
He was my kid brother. We got along fine. I know people think that I was jealous, that I was a leech. They didn't know anything.
It would be perfectly normal to be jealous.
His first game as a pro? I couldn't believe it. I was going crazy. I felt like it was me out there. I felt like 50,000 people were screaming for me.
Dr. Skoda smiles.
Did you wish it were you?
It wasn't me. It could never be me. I could play, you know. I could. Colleges wanted me. No one went to the hoop like me. That's what everyone said.
So what happened?
High school, I averaged 22 a game. Junior year, we played Old Bridge, and I scored 7. Dad walked out in the first half, disgusted. When I got home...
What happened when you got home?
One time, Daryl wet his bed. Dad sat him on the radiator. He was 6 years old. His screams woke me up. I got out of bed, took my baseball bat, smashed the TV. It exploded. He ran off to Mom, while Dad beat the hell out of me.
Tell me why you quit playing basketball, Sean.
If I didn't play, I couldn't score only 7. I know what we're doing here, man. I'm a loser. And there's nothing that you or anyone else is going to do about that, so...
Sean looks away and shakes his head. Later in Jack's office...
The theory is that children in abusive or dysfunctional environments assume rigid behavioral roles that enable them to seem as healthy as everyone else. Daryl was the family hero, while Sean became the scapegoat slash martyr. The family pinned all their troubles on him, and he was willing to take the blame.
That was when he was 8 years old.
You don't outgrow it, Jack. His father put tremendous pressure on him to succeed in athletics. An average performance was considered a failure.
How does all this have anything to do with his accepting a plea?
If you don't compete at all, you hasten the failure. Sean saw the trial ending disastrously, so he decided to hang up the spikes, so to speak.
Which was a perfectly reasonable reaction.
The plea allowed him to assume and reinforce his role in the family system.
He admitted guilt to please his family.
Defined roles form a comfort zone for everyone involved. What's not typical is to take that role with you when you leave. He can't escape his role. The family is comfortable seeing him as a failure, so he fails, whether he deserves to or not. I'm sorry, Jack, but this particular family dynamic leads me to conclude that Sean Ridgway is overly susceptible to duress.
Jack turns and stares out a window.
I better see how the bank's doing tracing the missing money.
Federated National Bank, 347 Lexington Avenue.
You're right. $4 million was transferred to the Cayman Islands Bank and Trust.
Can you get the name of the account holder?
Unfortunately, the island folk take bank privacy laws very seriously.
So anyone that had Daryl Ridgway's access code and PIN could have directed the transfer?
It's the downside of living in an online universe. But our techs can often backtrace the computer's origin. It takes time, but...
How close are they?
I'll get them on it right away. This is the first I even heard the money was missing.
Are you saying $4 million is missing and they haven't called to complain?
The bank employee shrugs. Later with a computer technician...
It's a trace route program. Same kind of software they use to nail internet hackers.
So no matter where you are, this program can find you.
It can find your computer. Scary, huh?
Depends who's looking for you, I guess.
So you're thinking this Daryl Ridgway guy is still breathing?
It's starting to look like that. I figure his mom didn't report the money transfer to the bank in order to give Daryl a head start getting to wherever he's going.
Oh, here we go. IP address 392.163. That's a U.S. location.
So he hasn't left the country yet?
It took about 10 hops to complete the transfer. Come to Mama.
They watch as the computer narrows down the location.
.1.104, Short Hills, New Jersey.
Daryl Ridgway's parents live in Short Hills, New Jersey.
So what you're saying is that the money transfer was all a hoax to make us think that Daryl was alive.
Which in effect saved Sean.
I called the bank. Miriam and Howard Ridgway are listed as joint tenants on all of his accounts.
I could charge them with obstruction and wire fraud, not to mention as accomplices after the fact, and probably a dozen other felonies if I put on my thinking cap.
The Nature Channel. A baby bird falls from the nest, and Mom swoops down to catch it before it hits the ground.
Not a perfect analogy, Arthur.
Yeah, the jury's not going to split hairs. A mother desperate to save her only living son?
This woman tried to cover for someone who killed three people.
By taking money out of her own account? How did Judge Einhorn feel about Walczewski's motion to set aside the plea?
She read Skoda's report and granted it on the spot.
I'm sure Walczewski would agree in a heartbeat to reinstate the prior plea agreement.
I'm sure he would, too. Only that deal's no longer on the table.
I seem to recall a parable. A feathered friend in the hand versus two in the pear tree.
Jack smiles and leans forward.
I don't want to go to trial any more than Walczewski, but I intend to raise the stakes on not doing it. That family systems thing that Skoda described, he said Sean had two roles, as loser and martyr.
I'll set up the meeting.
Later.
Three counts of murder, too. Whatever happened to justice tempered with mercy?
You can either accept my offer or watch your mother go to jail as an accomplice to three counts of murder, among assorted other things.
We know that you transferred money out of Daryl's bank account to make it look like he was still alive, Mrs. Ridgway.
You did what? Look, I don't know what you're trying to pull here, but...
Mrs. Ridgway?
You tried to save him. He killed Daryl. Go ahead, tell him, Ma. Tell him. Tell him you have two sons. Tell him you love us both the same.
She looks at her husband. Sean's eyes are wide.
Something's never changed.
All right. Can we all take a deep breath here, please, Jack? You're not really serious about this, are you?
Dead. So what's it gonna be?
Mr. Ridgway leans closer to Sean.
You're a damn loser is what you are. Your brother wasn't enough for you. I won't let you take your mother down, too. Not a chance. He's going to do whatever you want him to.
Howard, hold on. Jack, is there a little wheel room here?
No! For once in his useless life, he's going to do the right thing.
That's right, I will. Could shove the deal, Mr. McCoy. I'm going to trial.
And you'll rot in hell.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that. Who knows, maybe I deserve to die in jail, but I tell you what, if I do, it sure as hell won't be for killing anybody. Do you know why Daryl quit playing ball? Because he's just as screwed up as I am. I mean, look what you created here, Dad. Two scrubs and a...
He stares at his mom, who lowers her head.
I love you, Ma. I appreciate what you tried to do for me, but it's just too damn little. Too damn late. All these years, you could have done something.
Serena looks at Sean's father.
I'll roll the dice at trial, Mr. McCoy. Maybe I'll even win.
Jack somberly shakes his head.
That'd be a real kick in the ass, wouldn't it, Dad? Me ended up a winner.
Sean's dad glares at him, then leaves. Sean's mother stares at her son as she silently cries. Supreme Court, Trial Part 41, Sean is on the stand.
Yes, Daryl said he was going to stop giving me money. But we talked it out, and I agreed to go into rehab.
Which he would pay for.
That's right.
And this was decided at the party?
Yeah. That's the way it was our whole life. We'd argue, we'd fight, and then we'd hug, and it'd be over.
And after you hugged?
Daryl wanted to see the sunrise, so we continued the party on the boat.
That would be you, Daryl, Adam Makris, and Julie Eastman.
That's right. As soon as we got on board, Daryl was all over Julie. Didn't matter that she came to the party with Adam. Things like that never mattered to Daryl.
What did you do?
I told Daryl, you know, you better back off, because Adam was getting pissed. But, you know, he didn't listen. Him and Julie went below deck to smoke some weed, and I tried to calm Adam down, but he just kept on downing shots of tequila. You know, I wasn't feeling so well. So they dropped me off in Greenport, and then they sailed off. And I don't know what happened after that.
Wolczewski shrugs, nods, then returns to his seat.
That's a very interesting story. Why is it that no one's heard it before?
Well, in my mind, there was a chance that Daryl did the murders. I want him to get away.
You were trying to protect your baby brother?
That's right.
If you wanted to protect him, wouldn't it have been better to stay on board and make sure that nothing happened?
Okay.
The medical examiner testified that in addition to Julie's blood, he found samples of Daryl's and Adam's. How do you explain that?
I can't. Maybe whichever one of them did the murders left his own blood to throw off the cops.
You mean either Adam or Daryl?
That's right. Maybe they fought before the shooting. I don't know. Could be anything. I wasn't there.
This isn't your first time in a courtroom, Mr. Ridgway, is it?
No. I've been arrested before.
Could you be more specific?
Once for purchasing narcotics. Once for assault.
Really? Who'd you hit?
Guy owed me money.
And were you arrested at the scene?
No.
What was your defense in the assault trial?
That I didn't do it.
And someone else did?
Jack and Sean stare at each other. Jack returns to his seat, and Sean lowers his eyes. Supreme Court Trial Part 41. The jury is returning to the courtroom. Sean and Wolczewski stand.
Have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
On the first count of the indictment, murder in the first degree of Julie Eastman, how do you find?
We find the defendant guilty.
On the second count of the indictment, murder in the first degree of Adam Makris, how do you find?
We find the defendant guilty.
On the third count of the indictment, murder in the first degree of Daryl Ridgway, how do you find?
We find the defendant guilty.
Counsel to pick a date for sentencing, 4 to 6 weeks hence.
Sean looks back at his mother, who has tears in her eyes. She watches as Sean is led away. Later, in Arthur's office.
At his sentencing, Sean was still insisting on his innocence.
You gotta admire the old stick-to-itiveness.
All the evidence pointed to him, Arthur.
Well, then he must be guilty.
Unless a crime's caught on tape, we can't ever be 100% on any verdict.
Well, for me, the test is, can I sleep at night?
I'll sleep after this one.
Arthur looks at Serena.
It depends.
On what?
On how long it takes to pull the other two bodies out of the river.
Arthur and Serena leave. Jack hesitates in the doorway.